Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Busangabanye. How are you doing this afternoon? Oh, Pastor, hello.
Yes, now I can hear you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Are you well?
I'm well, thank you. We are preparing and we are ready for the Sabbath, so it is such a beautiful Friday afternoon, the preparation day.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we are going to be concluding our conversation that we, started this past 2 days. And we want to check with you, Pastor. In fact, before we actually go into these questions, I do want to invite those who are listening to please, be part of the conversation. If you want to comment, the pastor is here. If you want to have any questions, the pastor is here. And of course, it's no secret that the world we live in is broken. It's been that way ever since humanity rebelled in the Garden of Eden. Now, it's easy to lose hope in the future if that is the way it will always be. Now, what has God promised us with regards to millennium, or what comes after the millennium, remains to be discussed. Now, yeah, Mfundis, will sin ever really come to an end? Really? And if so, how will it do that?
Yes. My brother and to all our listeners, I think one of the best things that will happen to us is that sin indeed is going to come to an end. Sin is going to come to an end. Mm. God is going to bring to an end all this chaos that we find ourselves in. He is going to bring to an end all the effects of sin that we find ourselves in. So God is going to completely obliterate sin one day, destroy sin, destroy the author of sin, who is Lucifer himself and all his angels, and they shall be eventually destroyed, and God will bring an end to sin. So we need to look with hope to this time when God is going to purify this earth. God is going to purify this earth and bring and restore sanity. We'll be back in Eden, and we will enjoy life in a sinless world where there are no effects of sin, such as death, suffering, pain, sickness, no more cancer, no more pain. Mm. God is going to bring in a new order where there is no sin. And this is the greatest promise. Revelation 21, God promises, then I saw a new, John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
And there was no sea. There was no crying, no more crying, no more pain, no more tears. It was a completely new world. God would have done away with sin forever and forever, never to return.
Beautiful. Now, you're talking very beautifully, and I love the fact that you're saying that this will be forever. But how can we be sure, how can we know for sure that there's not going to be another situation, a muddy situation that we find ourselves today? I mean, unless freedom of choice is taken away, but if people still will have a choice, how do we have a guarantee that we're not going to be back to square one?
Interesting question. So we have learned over the past 2 days that the saints will be in heaven for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
There will be a millennium. Then the question might be, what then happens after the 1,000 years?
Mm-hmm.
What will happen after the 1,000 years? We left yesterday and Wednesday study with Lucifer, with the devil, in chains in a bottomless pit.
True.
So let's take it from there. What then happens? What then happens is after the 1,000 years, the devil is going to be loosed for a moment. What does it mean? The devil is going to be loosed for a moment. How so? How was he in chains previously? He was in chains because the unrighteous were dead in their graves. The unrighteous had been destroyed with the brightness of the second coming of Jesus. So what does it mean that the chains shall be loosed? His chains shall be loosed. There shall be a second resurrection. We read about this in Revelation chapter 20. We read about the second resurrection after chapter 20, verse 7. I'll read it. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, who are these nations now? Because the last we know, everyone has been destroyed. Last we know, everyone is in their graves. Yeah. So this is the point now of the second resurrection. Take note now of the second resurrection. Now, this is the timing of the second resurrection. But the second resurrection is the resurrection of the unrighteous. That is why the blessing in verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Because this is the blessed one. It is the one for the saints who are going to heaven. So the second resurrection is now for the unrighteous who are in their graves for these 1,000 years. So they are resurrected to receive their final punishment, their final destruction. So it is at this point that the devil is now back in his business of deception. So his chains are loosed now. His chains have been loosed. So he is now back in the act of deception. And what is the last point of deception? Is let us now destroy these saints. The new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. The saints are in the new Jerusalem coming down to land back on planet Earth. And now the devil is going to deceive all these nations, as many as the sand of the sea. Hey, that shows us the number of them that are not going to be saved. What a sad number, as many as the sand of the sea. To say, let us now destroy the new Jerusalem. Let's destroy all these saints. And it is at that time, it is at that time that God is going to rain fire. Verse 10, and the devil of Revelation 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So this is the destruction of the root of sin, that is Lucifer and all his angels. And unfortunately and sadly, all those that have made choices and that will still make choices to not accept Jesus as their savior and to continue rebelling against Jesus. So this is where we are. So we know for sure that when the Bible is saying in this particular text that they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, we shall explain this, it is just indicating that the destruction of sin, the destruction of Lucifer, the destruction of every sinner shall be forever, shall be complete, and shall ensure that sin shall never rise again. So this is why it is important that for us, the saints, we be purified, our minds be purified, so that when we are saved and we are changed, never will the seed of sin be found even in our hearts.
Lovely. Now, you mentioned that, you know, the events, so the saved, those who are part of the first resurrection would have been saved, etc. This is after the 1,000 years. And those in the second resurrection, you mentioned that they are now raised, and the whole story that you mentioned. And after that, he will cast and burn forever. Excuse me, burn forever. I mean, is I think forever is a very long time. Is it going to be burning forever? I mean, it seems very cruel for a God who is said to be loving.
Indeed, that sounds a bit contradictory to the character of God who is loving. In the first place, he is having to destroy sin Not because he's a cruel God, but because he's a loving God. He has given this world now, it's 6,000 years of grace, so that we may all repent of our sin and come to him. But what is this text that you have referred to, particularly referring to and saying? It is poetic language which is referring to the totality and the completeness of the action of the destruction of sin right from its root. So the forever and ever, it means as long as there is still a grain of sin undestroyed, then the fire shall not be quenched. The brimstone shall not be quenched until the last dot, the last seed of sin has been destroyed. That is ending with the destruction of Lucifer himself.
Yeah.
So this is what the text is referring to, that there shall be no root, there shall be no seed, there shall be no grain of sin that shall remain until that is destroyed. Then the fire will keep on its business of purifying this world. So that's what the text is meaning. It's meaning God is loving. He is not going to let us burn and burn forever and forevermore. And in fact, it also does not make just logical sense, because remember, John speaks of a new heaven and a new earth where there shall be no more pain, no more sickness. So there is a new earth. So if there is going to be an eternal fire, then where will we dwell on this planet Earth? Mm. Where is this new Jerusalem that John saw coming down from heaven, adorned as a bride? Where is it going to settle? Where is it going to land? It's going to land on the purified Earth. It has been purified by the fire, but the fire would have done its business and would have completed its business. And God recreates this planet Earth, and we live on this Earth to the Eden settings. So it can be fire forever, because we've got to come back and live on this planet Earth. And Isaiah 66:21 confirms that in the new heaven and the new earth we shall worship God even from Sabbath to Sabbath, from one new moon to another moon. So the Bible speaks of us after the 1,000 years coming to dwell back on a clean and purified earth. And that means the fire would have done its job and completed its work. So it cannot be a fire that burns forever and ever. But it just means that its work shall be complete and shall be eternal, in this fact that sin will never come again eternally.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, I must say, I was a little worried just about that part, because honestly, if it's going to be forever and ever burning and burning and burning, it means that there cannot be new earth. But I do want to say thank you so much for actually explaining this. Now, we have spoken about this subject since Wednesday, the millennium. That's the subject we're talking about today. And what is it that the listener should take away? Uh-huh. So what is the key takeaway of this particular subject as we wrap up this afternoon?
Thank you, my brother. We are living in a world of sorrow, pain, heartache. Today I was counseling somebody who phoned me earlier in the morning, and they were thinking of committing suicide just this morning. Just this morning, somebody sent me a WhatsApp message and say, "Pastor, help me." And the situation they described to me is unshareable. It's unthinkable what is happening to them. I'm just talking about today. A lady walked into my office then later on, and she just needed some comforting words. This is just in a day's work. The world is in pain, my brother.
Yeah.
The world is in tears to every one of us who is listening. But this message is a message of hope and assurance that God is going to usher a new world order.
Oh, yeah.
Is bringing something new for us. God is going to create something new for us, something better than this world and this earth that we live in. And it is the blessed hope that we are holding on to, we can cling on to, even with the tears in our eyes, with our hearts broken, with our hope almost fading to nothingness. We have this hope, this blessed hope, that Jesus Christ is coming back again with a new world order. And he shall take us to heaven, into this blissful heaven where there is no pain, where there is no sorrow. And after the 1,000-year holiday in heaven, we are coming to dwell back here on earth and live forever and ever in a world where there shall be no sin. There shall be no more rebellion, no more war, no hunger, no famine. Yep. We shall build homes and we shall live with them. It's sad and painful to see today that somebody builds a mansion and the following day they are dead and they leave it to other people to live in. But in the new heaven and the new earth, we shall build homes and dwell in them, our children playing with the lion and the serpent. It shall be a blissful earth. So this is the blessed hope that I would love all our listeners to remain with. This is the new heaven that we should look forward to. So what ought we to do now and today is to prepare. Are our hearts ready to receive him? Are our hearts ready to receive Jesus so that he may take us to the new heaven? So we've got to prepare, brothers, sisters who are listening. There is no other hope. These economies are not going to get better, but we can only look forward to the new Jerusalem. That's the city where we shall dwell in peace and in harmony. But we've got to prepare today to be in that heaven tomorrow. That is the message we should take home after a learning of the millennium and the destruction of sin, the new heaven and the new earth.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for joining us and sparing some time for us so that we can actually learn of these beautiful secrets of heaven. Thank you so much. We do appreciate you and we do appreciate the time that you have given us. We definitely are not taking this lightly. I want to pray that your family and your ministry be expanded as into the Lord's will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless to all our listeners. God bless you and happy Sabbath.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.